Good evening. Once again, James McCanny with my Science Hour. Checking the airwaves here, and I'm actually listening to myself in one ear on the new frequency. Of course, we're on the 9350 right now, coming in loud and clear where I am. So March 29, 2012, got a lot of topics to cover tonight. The first thing I want to mention now, I hope many of you have heard my last few shows. I was talking about the tornadoes on the sun that were discovered in the mid-1990s by Russian scientists. They were trying to figure out what was causing these, and they said they look like the tornadoes on Earth. They were seeing electrical activity around Earth tornadoes. So they were looking for some kind of explanation when they discovered my work. And as I said, this is all history. It's in the appendix of my weather book, some of the actual conversations between myself and Russian scientists at the University of Novosibirsk, Alexei Dmitriev, and the papers they wrote, and they translated my papers. And the initial discoveries were dealing with tornadoes on the sun. So anyway, here's what I want to get at. This morning, NASA announced through Discovery News, one of their mouthpieces, that NASA today had discovered tornadoes on the sun. When I got this, somebody just sent it to me a little while before the show started here. And by the way, I do appreciate all of the input from fans, because I cannot be every place on the internet and know everything. So people are really great about sending things in. But this is from a listener, noticed it this morning and got it to me in time for me to talk about it on my show. But here we are. NASA, this is the name of the title of the article, Monster Solar Tornadoes Discovered. And then it says, magnetic tornadoes measuring several Earths wide have been spotted deep inside the sun's atmosphere. So NASA today is making claim to the discovery of tornadoes on the sun. Well, little Ian O'Neill of Discovery News, I'd like to tell you that you're about 17 years late on this discovery, and the people who are making the claim of this discovery, this is just absurd. This is ridiculous, but it's typical NASA. But then they sidetrack the issue, and they talk about magnetic fields. They do have to give credit. These are big electrical currents lifting up off the sun, and they say they don't understand them. Well, gee, pretty hard to understand things when you're copying it 17 years later. At any rate, I don't want to dwell on that, but it's just something to point out. I know a lot of people have been listening to my show and how I've been describing these for a number of weeks now, and talking about the tornadoes on the sun and the original discoveries, and where you can read about this, including the original dialogue between myself and the Russian scientists. And today, NASA is announcing they have just discovered tornadoes on the sun. Well, okay. I have such a wide variety of topics. By the way, today's science topic, I'm going to get back to sunspots. I'm going to talk a little bit more about those. I keep trying to get that topic in, but it seems to elude me. The main science topic, I'm going to talk about mountain ranges on a moon of Jupiter and geysers of hot gaseous geysers coming out of the moon Enceladus of Saturn. And something very important about these moons in the outer solar system, I'll be talking about those as the main science topic. This week I talked with a listener, and he called up and he said, you know, I don't want to take much of your time, and I'll tell you, I really am grateful to the many fans that are out there, just wonderful fans. But this person brought up a question. He says, you know, I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and we can't afford college, and I don't know what the future holds for her. Asking me to give some insight into the future of what may be in store for this man's daughter, what might be going on in the world in 5 to 10 years. Well, it's not good, let's put it that way. And in fact, not only for the kids of this country, but for the adults, the new Obama thing, the health care, some form of that will be rammed through. And your golden years, if you ever get to retirement, will be spent on the phone or filling out forms, chasing down government offices, and basically with the government owning your body. And this is one of the points that I have to make, and I know a lot of talk show hosts are covering this topic about the Supreme Court. But what the Supreme Court is deciding on is whether the government has the right to dip into your pocketbook to pay for this on a national scale that everybody has to pay. But what they're not even talking about is whether the government has the right to own your health or your body, to control your body. That's you. That's all you've got when it comes down to it. They already control the water. They can poison it. They can control the food and poison that with the controlling corporations that manage government and the Monsantos and the Cargills. But now they want to own your body and control it through healthcare mandating. And they're not talking about how much this will cost. If you went out to buy an insurance policy for health, the first thing you'd want to know is what's the premium and what's my deductible. Nobody's talking about this. It's just the shoe in the door with endless, but it's the thing that will absolutely crash this country, that has already crashed. This country, I see store closings all over the place. You drive through any town, more stores are closed than open. The show's over here. The United States is done. It's all over. But what about a young 13-year-old girl or boy growing up today? What do they have to look forward to? Well, let's take a look at just some of the numbers. There are currently between 40 and 50 million Mexicans in this country without papers. Okay, so that's the number. Whether you're for that, whether you're against it, is immaterial. Those numbers are real. About pushing one half of the population of Mexico, which is the largest populous country in Latin America, with the original population about 10 years ago of 107 million, about half of them are in the United States now. And they're having babies at an incredible rate. So you're talking about a country that 15 years ago, the United States, had 297 million people in it, and the population was being reduced. Actually, it was going down. Now you have another 40 to 50 million people that are going to double and triple that population in the next 10 years. So you're going from a country of around 300 million to a country of around 400 million easily in the next number of years, and probably more, with a good third of those people, not the majority of them, working for cash. Right now I've had conversations with some people from Mexico, and they said, they're asking the same question, what are our kids going to do? Well, they're finally waking up to the fact that, you know, they brought their families here. They are here now. They have, very few of them have less than three children. There's 4 to 6 children in a family. What are those kids going to do? There's no jobs now. If you put them on the job market now, there would be nothing for them to do. So you see the problem with kids in general is not just Mexicans. Somalians are a big factor, a growing factor in the country. Why? Because they come here and they have babies. Baby, 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 baby. Baby, baby, babies. And that's all they do. So now, you know, is that good? Is it bad? Well, you decide. I'm just giving you the numbers. So in 5 years, you're going to see those people starting to try and enter adult life, and you know, they'll be dropping out of school. There won't be jobs for them. Mainly they live in cities. What's going to happen to this country? There's no planning. I don't know. I don't have an answer. One thing I want to mention, a lot of people have a lot of anger today, and a lot of it is misdirected. They blame politicians, they blame political systems, they blame companies, or they might blame the New World Order. But I myself blame the stupid American public, the vast numbers of people in the United States who for years and years have had absolutely no clue what was going on. And finally, when it comes to roost in their nest, they're going, how can this be? Everything was fine. Well, no, everything was not fine. For a long time, everything has not been fine. I talked a few weeks ago about the couple. They make $500,000 a year between them. They have no kids. They have a beautiful $800,000 house in the suburbs, and they are financially doomed because they are trying to get out of their house, and this is common, and I'm not just talking about these people. It might be a couple whose annual income is $30,000. Their situation is exactly the same. They just don't have as nice a house. But the situation is that everybody, whether it is increase in interest on credit cards, whether it's your retirement pension being eaten up by or 401k going away, or whether it's the house that you're investing in, all of these factors are destroying people, and the national health care is just going to take people to the cleaners. So how do you look into the future, the crystal ball of the future of this country? Well, I've been in a lot of third world countries, and it's living hand to mouth is the expression that hardly seems appropriate. You see these people eating every day, but what happens? In a country, as the economy plummets, the birth rate surges. And that is happening in the United States. So all I can tell you is that the past mismanagement of Latin American politics and the absolute destruction economically and allowing those countries to have the very few percentage of ownership in those countries with a vast amount of populace owning nothing, living in the dirt, now those people come here, and it's going to be, you know, I have respect for these people, anybody who's trying to better themselves, but the situation in the United States, it is right now a third world country, and it is going to be more of a third world country all along. So I don't know what to tell people. The only thing I tell people is live on many levels. If you have a job right now and are working, well, that's good. Hopefully you're doing okay. But don't count on it, and be able to live on many different levels. The most basic level, taking care of yourself. I always encourage people, turn off the water, turn off the electricity, turn off stop using the car. Don't go to the grocery store, and do that for, let's say, 3 or 4 days. Now you're going to get an idea of what it could be like out here. Oh, gee. I always tell the story about I was at a place getting my hair cut one day, and the lady asked me what I did, and I didn't get real specific, but, you know, I talk about preparedness and things like that. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm always prepared. I always have an extra can of tuna in the cupboard. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you feel very well prepared. An extra can of tuna in the cupboard. Wow. People have no clue. Absolutely no clue. What is coming? This freight train coming down the road is on its way, and there's nothing that's going to stop it. Okay, so anyway, enough of that. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to remove those notes from my page here. By the way, over past weeks and some shows, I have different equipment that I use depending on where I am. Oh, God. Oops. I think I'm still online here. Okay, I had a popping noise due to my voice, due this, and I apologize for that. I have cured that. I've gotten a different equipment now for the different type of, like I say, if I'm traveling or if I'm in different situations, I might have different equipment. But I've cured that popping noise, so I do apologize for that, and we won't be hearing that anymore on my show. At any rate, just a quick mention, quite a while ago, it was probably about a year ago, there was a journal or periodical called American Free Press. They ran an article, some guy, and I don't remember the name, wrote an article about Planet X, and he tried to be a little nouveau expert on the topic, but he used my name and associated me and other people in that talk about Planet X with the Zetaquack thing, and of course I don't have anything to do with that, never did, and have been very outspoken against that and exposing that for the government front that it is, and trying to distort the topic of Planet X. But at any rate, I got a letter from a listener saying that he too had written to American Free Press and said that this article was a complete distortion of any reality, and specifically mentioned my name, and said that the magazine should do a retraction on this because it was simply false information. The magazine wrote back and said, well, the author, they believed, was a patriot, and therefore that there was no need to qualify anything. Well, let me explain to you. A lot of what seemed to be reliable sources in the past, including American Free Press, it appears, are easily fooled. Because somebody is a patriot, it doesn't mean they are a Planet X expert. So I just want to make that crystal clear. And so a lot of people are just, all I can tell you is beware, beware, beware. As we head into this spring and these upcoming years, the year of 2012, where there's been so much misinformation spread about by government misinformation sources, and of course all the Looney Tunes on the web, all I can tell you is that you have to be on your toes. And one thing I try and discuss with people on my show is how to read between the lines, how to get information, and a lot of the misinformation is meant to simply flood you with so much garbage information that you don't know what's up or down or sideways. So at any rate, as I said, you may have trusted sources over the years, but many of them are easily fooled, easily dissuaded from understanding what the real stories are. And believe me, the topic of Planet X is the biggest topic on the planet. That's all I can tell you. So at any rate, let me see if... I wanted to mention, too, that the American Free Press, when I contacted them, only would allow me a very brief response that reflected me, saying that, no, I had nothing to do with this particular person at Zetaquack, or Zetatalk, as it is officially called. And that's all American Free Press would allow me. They wouldn't allow me to write another article about Planet X that was legitimate, and from myself, who I've been dealing with this topic for decades and decades, and I know all of the issues. American Free Press didn't want any part of that. So all I can tell you is, as I said, these sources of information, they might be good about certain things, but I wouldn't put my faith in them on topics, especially like Planet X. And a lot of them like the green tree hugger people, they have good intentions, but they're very easily fooled, and then they can bring that distorted message to the public. Just a quick mention on the corn sale, of course, I announced last week. That is going quite well. And I don't know how long it will last, but visit the webpage, jmccsci.com. And it's amazes me. By the way, people have been waiting for the water filters. And we just sold out. It was a number of weeks ago, and we hit a brick wall. The ordering just simply went rampant. And so it took a number of weeks to catch up. We just got a big shipment of both Dalton and my own name brand water filters and all the accessories in. So we are back in stock. Things, back orders are being shipped. So thank everybody for being patient there. And I want to comment that not a single person, not one single person canceled an order during that time, those weeks of waiting. They all stuck in there, and they all want their water filters, and they all understand how important it is. But I have a new sale up right now. The corn seeds, of course, are there, and one of the options for corn seed is to buy 2,000 corn seeds for $55 plus $5 shipping, so that's $60. And so the new sale is if you purchase over $400 worth of items, any combination, if your total order is more than $400, we will send you free the 2,000 corn seeds. And that's good only in the United States, that offer. But that's a $60 value for free. So we'll send you that if your order is over $400. And so there's a lot of people out there. By the way, I have the best quality and the best pricing of water filters that I have seen. I've gone around and looked. Mine are field-tested, time-tested, and it's the best product on the market with the best pricing, and now you can get the free corn seeds along with that. So at any rate, plus I just want to mention the pre-filters and the new modular water filtration and storage system. Those are selling. People really like these systems. They are amazed at how big the tanks are on the modular system. These are 6.5 gallons. They're big tanks. You get 4 of them plus the water filter, and you can buy extra tanks for storage. So at any rate, and those are only available on my webpage. You won't find that anyplace else. Okay, excuse me. Let me go through a couple of topics dealing with the sun. As I ended my show last week, the sun started erupting on a grand scale. A dozen major eruptions in the day after my show last week. We had tornadoes around the United States, and we had 2 himicanes. That's the term I coined for the hurricanes over land. We had 2 of them march across the United States. And by the way, right now, as I started the show, I was looking at weather around the world, and a small hurricane just formed on the Gulf Coast of Texas and is running easterly in the direction towards New Orleans. It's spinning. It's running right along the Texas Gulf Coast going eastward. It's just a little teeny hurricane, but it looks like it's got quite a bit of storm activity in there. So if you're in that area or east of there, expect some severe weather. And I don't see that is even posted on the National Weather Service. But anyway, that's just forming now as the show is going on. Solar conditions this past week have been rather erratic. Quite a bit of solar magnetic fluctuation in the solar wind that's at Earth. In fact, over the past day, we had a magnetic reversal, which basically would have allowed solar radiation, the high-energy particles coming off the sun, to penetrate the magnetic sheath around Earth and come all the way into our atmosphere. So this is something that happened over the past day. And by the way, sunspot 1429, that sunspot that pounded out some major flares that also interacted with comets, going all the way back to Comet Lovejoy. This sunspot has been around for some time. It is now working its way around the sun, and it's coming around and is still very active, pounded out some very big solar flares and CMEs over the past days, which were directed from the far side of the sun, but this sunspot is working its way around again, and so we will keep an eye on that. Auroras the other night, seen as far south as Nebraska, on Tuesday evening, as far south as Nebraska, auroras were recorded, but I want to make mention that they were not directly overhead in Nebraska. They were seen far to the north. Now, the auroras occur as far as 50 to 60 miles up in the atmosphere. So when they're seen along the northern horizon from a given vantage point, the auroras really are occurring at a point probably 200 to 300 miles north of where the observer is, in this case, Nebraska. So those auroras were really occurring probably close to the Canadian border, which is not that uncommon, but still for people in Nebraska to see an aurora is quite uncommon. This is something people have been asking me about, and I'm sorry I didn't get this into last week's show. Clinton, Wisconsin has been hearing some booming noises, and they can't seem to figure out exactly what has happened. So I find it comical as I read about the antics of local politicians running around, and we are going to get to the bottom of this. And yeah, here we are, you know, and they ask the military, and the military goes, we don't know anything about it. They don't give them an answer. What do you mean, mill boys? Here we've got a military that is, its commission is to protect this country. They have equipment that can detect underground nuclear tests miles and miles underground in the far side of the earth in Korea. But you're telling me they can't tell us what's going on underneath the ground in Clinton, Wisconsin? And they don't go there and find out? This is the group that's supposed to be protecting our country. So you have all of this booming going on. It's enough to shake people's houses, break windows, and crack walls in houses. But the military can't tell you what's going on? Well, I can probably give you a clue. It's some of the mill operations or government operations, which are closely related, drilling tunnels under the ground. So, at any rate, doing a little blasting, they probably hit some rock under there, and they had to blast it before the drills could go through, the tunneling drills. So at any rate, it's very clear to me what is going on there in Clinton, Wisconsin. And it's very clear why the military won't say. If it were something that were just normal or geological, then the military should be able to say and pinpoint if it's enough to crack windows and make cracks in people's houses, then we're talking about significant geological activity. And so if the mill boys aren't talking, I guess that's pretty much tells you it's the cat that ate the canary, and it's got the feather in its mouth, the innocent look I remember from the old cartoons. Anyway, okay, the sunspots, I'm going a little bit into sunspot explanation. And by the way, do not look at the sun with your eyes or with optical equipment. Do not use cameras. Do not use binoculars or other telescopes to look at the sun. There are pieces of equipment made specifically for observing the sun, but unless you know what you're doing, as I repeat, do not ever look at the sun with your eyes or even sunglasses, because it'll damage your eyes. But sunspots were first noticed by Galileo. And that's, by the way, he was blind when he was an old man, and that's why he was looking at the sun through his telescope, and he didn't understand. Remember when they had Galileo under house arrest because he refused to comply with the church order that he say that Earth was the center of the universe? And he wouldn't do that, so they kept him under house arrest. And at that time he was blind, and that's because he would have been looking at the sun in his earlier years at sunspots. So at any rate, sunspots are cooler areas of the sun. They're a bit cooler, so they appear darker than the rest of the solar surface. They may or they may not be associated with solar flaring, or CMEs. CME is a term, coronal mass ejection. That's when the sun kicks up and blows a big line of radiation off the surface. And in the corona, it's an electric structure that surrounds the sun. There's a hole that opens up and the solar flare, the solar wind comes charging through. So at any rate, the sunspots are typically cooler areas. They have magnetic structure, and that's been known for a long time. They have significantly high magnetic fields. But as I said, they may be related to storm activity or they may not. But as the number of sunspots increases, and they have a definite pattern, I'm not going to go into that, all of that detail on this show, but as they increase in numbers, then typically the sun activity increases. And that's something that's going on right now. And that definitely is also related to general activity on the surface of the sun. So, but the, for example, sunspot 1429 has had some very serious activity going on over the past weeks. And so in this case, a sunspot may have significant repercussions as far as Earth weather is concerned. But what exactly is going on there? Well, typically the sunspot is related to electrical connections, and it's very similar to conditions that occur on Earth. We have low pressure cells on Earth, and standard meteorology really doesn't understand why these occur or what's going on. What happens is there are electrical connections from the upper edge of the planet Earth, or in the case of the sun, from the sun. These electrical connections go far out into outer space, discharging locally the local capacitor, and as these currents work, they spin. Now let's take an example. You've all seen the water going down the drain in the tub, and it swirls. It makes a swirling motion, and that's because the water is dropping down, and as it drops, there's a action that causes it to spin, related to gravity and the differential level of gravity on planet Earth, or in the case of the sun. If you had a drain and the drain went upwards, where the water went upwards, it would spiral as it went upwards. It's just a characteristic. And so the spiraling that you see around sunspots or around the tornadoes on the sun, as I was talking about last week, this is all related to electrical currents that go up into the in the atmosphere on Earth from low cell pressure cell spots on Earth. And by the way, this is the cause of tornadoes. I had as a kind of an assignment, if you ever get a chance, go on the internet and just look up tornado videos. So there are tons of them on the internet. And look at these tornadoes and ask yourself, is this powerful spinning vertical column of air that will take your house and suck it up into this tornado, into this cyclone, and destroy it? Is this caused by a couple of thunderstorms moving sideways one past the other? Well, no, it's not. A lot of these tornadoes come out of a clear blue sky. There are pictures of tornado. I believe it's in my Atlantis to Tesla book, or maybe it's the weather book. The picture of in a clear blue sky, there's a tornado coming out of Mount Etna in Italy. Tornadoes are very commonly seen above volcanoes and out of a clear blue sky. So what causes these? They're seen running across the surface of Mars on a clear blue sky on a day with no clouds, but you'll see tornadoes running across the surface of Mars. Clearly some other process is going on here. So these are related to electrical conditions on the sun and, for example, on planet Earth or planet Mars. And these are related to electrical currents. Well, what does electrical current have to do with this vertical spinning motion? Well, what's going on is the ions, it also ionizes the air. And that's one thing, too, is you are after a thunderstorm or after a tornado goes by, people claim they smell ozone. Ozone is ionized. It's a byproduct of electrical activity with oxygen. And that's just one of the after effects. But anyway, the ionized air starts moving up the electrical column. And when it moves up, it's just like the water going down the drain. It spins. And so this is an electric circuit. That's the easiest way to explain it. And so, of course, standard science tries to explain these in terms of strictly magnetic fields. And magnetic fields are secondary effects. You don't have magnetic fields unless you have electrical currents. And you don't have electrical currents unless you have electric fields. And so this was the logic that I used when I was talking about this in my original work back in the 1970s. That the standard science explanation for things is when they talk about magnetic fields are secondary effects. And I noticed, comically enough, in the NASA article today where they claim they discovered tornadoes on the sun, that they have to admit, and of course, that these are electrical currents going up into the solar atmosphere. And, of course, a direct copying of my work, they have to copy it because that's what's going on. But to claim and lay discovery to this is, well, I'm not going to continue talking about that. Okay, so anyway, sunspots basically are cool areas on the sun. They may or may not be related to solar weather or CMEs. They sometimes are, they sometimes are not. And that relationship is somewhat complex. And it's safe to say that science does not really understand that today, but it's hard to gain understanding when the entire model of the sun is incorrect. See, all of these effects are surface effects. And if you believe, like standard science does, that the heat engine of the sun is deep in the solar core, then there's no mechanism for these surface, all of these surface features. If you believe that the solar fusion is at the surface, like my theoretical work shows, then you have all of the sources of energy for tornadoes, for solar flaring, for the corona. The corona is a cloud of relativistic electrons circling the sun. How does that happen in a purely gravitational world or solar system? It doesn't. It can't. It's absolutely ridiculous. Those electrons would go flying away at relativistic speed right now, and they would never come back. So just the existence of the solar corona, the relativistic electrons in orbit around the sun, tells you that something electrical is going on. Okay, I'm going to shift gears now, and remember, by the way, that the new frequency for this show, 9.350 megahertz, will run through the summer, and sometime next fall, we will change back to the 5070. But right now, we're running on the evening frequency of 9.350 megahertz, and that's because my show time runs at, 6 p.m., and Central Time, and it's right around evening, so it's as we work into summer, and it's still light out. Well, the 5070 doesn't work. It's an evening and nighttime frequency. So at any rate, next fall we'll change back to 5070. But I just tested the 9.350 megahertz, and where I am, it's coming in loud and clear, as if the station were next door. Here's a letter from a listener. I just want to quick read this, because this is talking about weather, electricity, and tornadoes. And this comes from, it's Bill, a listener, wrote this in. And he says, tornadoes in this area will follow closely railroad tracks in the valleys. And one actually tracked over the top of Old Bethlehem Steel iron ore mine for 2.5 miles, consisting of mainly piece metal hillsides cut out and terraced there, and there were and there with the shafts connecting together underground. These mines were shut down sometime after World War I. We used to ride our bikes up there and play in them. But that is what we used to do for fun. However, please explain the phenomenon of ball lightning bouncing down the railroad tracks. I have seen that, but my mother said when she was a little girl, one of those exploded through the front door of their home, off the walls and down the hall, and then blew through the back door, scorching and burning everything it touched. So he said, and after reading my books on weather and electricity, he wanted me to talk about ball lightning. Well, yes, okay, what is ball lightning? Well, actually, it's a mini sun. Ball lightning is a plasma ball. Where does it come from? Why does lightning outside cause a ball of lightning? And these things can go through walls, they can go through windows. As he said, his mother as a little girl saw it come through the front door, bounce against the walls, scorching things that it touched, and then blew through the back door. It sounded like it did quite a bit of damage on the back door, scorching and burning everything it touched, he said. Okay, so what is ball lightning? Ball lightning, and by the way, this is my explanation, something I discovered a long time ago. Ball lightning is basically a super hydrogen atom. Why does it come from lightning? Okay, well, what happens when a lightning bolt crashes down to Earth? There's a lot of current, and there's some bends in that lightning bolt. It doesn't come straight down. It comes in a zigzag form. And in the tight bends in that lightning bolt, some very high magnetic fields form. Also, it is ionizing the air and disrupting the water molecules. So basically, it pulls apart the water molecules, and the oxygen is heavy, but the hydrogen then forms a ball. So what you have are the protons forming a super nucleus from the hydrogen atoms with the electrons moving around the super ball. And that, in fact, is exactly what the sun is doing on the surface. So it's a very slow, very low-burning, I don't know if you would call it fusion process, but it's basically a super atom. I just talked about the corona of the sun, relativistic electrons moving around in a cloud around the sun. It's the exact same situation. And by the way, the fusion on the sun is caused by electrical discharges in the solar atmosphere that keeps that fusion engine running in the surface of the sun. So ball lightning is nothing more than a hydrogen super atom, and it is in a somewhat semi-stable state. And once it starts to dissipate, it breaks apart very fast. It's not what you'd call a stable atomic structure. The protons do not form a nucleus. It's because of their speed and the internal magnetic fields caused by the movement of the protons at very high velocity that keeps the protons in a stable nucleus and the electrons moving around in a cloud around it in a superatom form. So at any rate, these have been generated for brief periods of time in the laboratory. at any rate, that is the cause of ball lightning. And yes, they are real, and that's what causes them. I want to shift now and talk about the mountains on a moon of Jupiter. Io is a moon of Jupiter. It's the closest moon to Jupiter, and it's also one of the hottest places in the solar system in terms of planetary surfaces. Venus is right up there with it, but Venus has a very huge atmosphere surrounding it. The small moon Io, which actually isn't so small, moves around Jupiter. Now, when it was first discovered to have volcanic activity on its surface, in fact, it's the most volcanically active place in the solar system, including Earth. Earth is a quite volcanic, volcanically active place. But Io has dozens of active volcanoes at any given time. Small ones, some large ones. But the thing I want to talk mainly about tonight is the fact is that Io, given that it is a volcanically active, molten piece of globular rock, has mountain ranges. Now, there are two types of mountain ranges. One is the upthrust mountain, like the Rocky Mountains, the Andes, the Himalayas. These are upthrust mountains. They were caused by land or layered land that was down in the earth at one time being thrown up, and you can see the jagged edges of the layers of earth. You can go up to the very highest point in the Rocky Mountains and see where the earth has pushed up these layers, and the standard explanation is that this is done by plate tectonics. And many times I talk about the fact that plate tectonics doesn't make any sense. The earth really does not, there are plates, they kind of look like plates and they have plate boundaries, but that's about where it ends. When I think of a plate, I think of something solid and rigid, and that's the implication by using that term. But I wouldn't call the earth plates, I would call them regions or zones that have borders. And this idea where they simply slide around and one is subducted under the other one, but the point is that somehow they state that these cause mountain ranges thousands of miles away in the middle of continents. And I've said before that that is absolutely absurd, that the real reason for mountain ranges is that a large celestial object comes by, sets up a gravitational wave through the surface of the planetary object, like Earth or Io, and as this wave moves along, if it hits an obstruction in the land, then that energy is absorbed there and it pushes up the mountain, and this happens very quickly. And of course, that's something Velikovsky pointed out that back in the 1950s when he was examining mountain building. And he said that the Earth has gone through epochs of mountain building, but these happen very quickly. The mountains are thrown up in very rapidly. But at any rate, what's interesting is let's go out to the very volcanic molten moon of Io circling Jupiter. Now, standard science says that it's volcanic because of tidal pulsing. In other words, as it moves around between the other moons of Jupiter and Jupiter, there is a differential force at the surface of the planet. The surface closest to the moon gets pulled out, and the surface farther away from the moon gets it has less gravitational pull. So there's like this pulsing, and we know that the Earth does this. This kind of tidal action is what causes the ocean tides on Earth. So we know these kind of things happen. They say that Io can be subject to as much as 100 meters of lift and or more as it goes around, and I believe it's a very short orbit. But at any rate, the point is that Io is under this constant flexing. But the problem is, this is not a mechanism that causes upthrust mountains. What on Earth, or what on Io, is causing upthrust mountains? And it's not just one or two. it's about 100 mountain chains on Io that are visible, and they're not related. They're not like the Andes or that run up through the Central America and up through Colorado and all the way to the North Pole and all the way to the South Pole. They're not organized in a big line like on Earth. They're all over the place and in all different directions. Also, these mountain chains don't last long. There's serious erosion going on because of the tremendous heat and the other conditions on this small moon. So these mountains don't last long. So the bottom line is it's something that standard science does not talk about and really can't talk about. Number one, their mechanism of plate tectonics. There are no plate tectonic structures of any kind on Io because it's molten. It's a molten planet, and it gets worked constantly. The other thing is, I don't believe that Io is a 4.5 billion-year-old object, just like many objects in the solar system. It's a young moon. How did it get into where it is past the other moons? How did it get captured and work its way in? Well, that's what my books and theoretical work explain. Io was a comet. It was captured into the Jupiter system and worked its way in, just like Venus worked its way into where it is today, tail drag, encountering the other planetary objects on the way in with gravitational encounters. And that's probably where Io got a lot of its upthrust mountains as it worked its way through those other three big moons out there, Ganymede and Calypso, etc., that it had many, many chances to have major encounters, gravitational encounters, as it moved by those moons in the moon system of Jupiter. So, but there again, there is no plate tectonic activity on Io because it's a molten planet. And even if there were something like that, these mountain structures are in all different directions. There's over 100 mountain chains on this little planet. I would call it a planet more than a moon. Okay, so when you start seeing these contradictions and the fact that standard science, if you look at standard science explanations and try and apply them, they don't work. And they don't work on Earth either. Now I want to go out to a small moon. This was just announced today, I believe. A moon called Enceladus of Saturn. On the south pole, the southern extremity of this small, not so small moon. It's a ball, a globular structure, which means it had enough heat at formation to form and pull itself into a globe form, as opposed to a lot of small asteroids that are potato-shaped or odd-shaped. This moon Enceladus of Saturn has geysers at the south pole of this moon. And NASA has flown through it, the geyser gaseous areas with the Cassini orbiter that is studying Saturn. And it says that it's salty. It's like salt water. And, of course, there is water. The surface of Enceladus is covered with snow. Now, there again, as you see these objects out in the solar system, the standard science concept would say that, well, gee, that should be a gigantic comet. Because comets, in fact, the biggest comet in history was seen beyond Saturn. So according to the Dirty Snowball Comet model, Enceladus should have been a giant comet and should have lost all of that snow and ice over the eons, certainly over recent history, and it should be a giant comet right now. But it's not. We have icy moons around Jupiter, much closer to the Sun, and they don't exhibit any kind of cometary activity at all. In terms of deliquescing the water coming off of the moon in form of a tail, none of this is happening. So the point is that what I want to mention, the reason I'm relating Enceladus of Saturn with Io of Jupiter, those two moons, is because now they are trying to use the explanation of tidal pulsing to explain the geysers at the southern pole of Enceladus. But let's look at this. When you have tidal pulsing, that's pulling at the middle part of the moon, and where it is absolutely zero pull and zero differential gravitational force is at the south and north pole. That's where it is always zero. So there shouldn't be any geysers at the south pole, and you should have a lot of geyser activity out on the equator, on the perimeter, especially the side that faces Saturn and faces away from Saturn, but there is none there. So what I'm pointing out here is these hip pocket theories come out of NASA. They get reiterated and put into the popular press, and this is the garbage science that they try and pawn off on the public. It's the reason I keep pointing this out. It gives me a good platform to talk about what is really happening, and of course the obvious conclusion is that Enceladus, just like Io, is a young moon. It's a young new member of the solar system, and that's why it looks the way it does. It's not due to gravitational pulsing. So at any rate, I've got a few seconds here left in this show. Remember, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. That's jmccs, as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. And we now have a big stock of water filter supplies, accessories. There's the corn sale, the corn seed sale, and all of the other items. My books and CDs have been flying out the window. I cannot believe the number of people buying. They're buying all of my books at one time. This is great to see. There's a lot of good fans out there, and really appreciate the support. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.